pastor that was there. And then when I was there, the pastor that was there had the joy of doing his regular duties, but then also doing a giving campaign so they could pay off all that debt, okay? And so I wasn't a staff member there until like the last 6 months of our time there. Then I was like part-time staff. But I was volunteering, and I came to like the board meetings and all the staff meetings and things like that because we were over the college ministry. And so I say all that to say this. There was often discussions about the financial health of the congregation, and sometimes those conversations were stressful. Okay, now since I've been here over these last 10 years, we as a congregation we've had conversations about the budget. We have to. That's part of the business part of church, right? But we've never had to have discussions about the budget not being able to be met or any of those kind of things. And this Sunday is no different necessarily, okay? But at the beginning of the year, it's always good to talk about the church budget, which we're going to do at the congregational meeting. At the beginning of the year, it's always good to talk about giving and tithes and all those kind of things, because that is necessary for the church to function. And today, we're talking about generosity, okay? And I'm talking about generosity on the day that we're going to talk about the quarterly budget and all this kind of stuff. And it doesn't have anything to do with each other other than God's sovereign will over all those things, okay? And so I don't want you to hear from this message, oh, now you need to make sure you come to hear where we're at financially, although you should be concerned with that because this is your church, just as it's my church, right? But I talk about giving and generosity not to chasten you, put my hands out or open my pockets for you to fill or anything like that. I talk about this because it is a part of a spiritual discipline that we should be fostering, okay? And then also, part of the reason I don't talk about giving much, because I've had some of you who've been coming for a while, you'll say to me, right, like, hey, I don't hear you preach about giving very much. And there's a reason for that too, and there's two reasons for that. One, I never want for you to confuse me with a health and wellness gospel preacher. And what that is, if you don't have a framework for that, is basically, you know, sow a seed, reap some kind of a larger reward, right? So like, which is in terms of what we're going to talk about today, a biblical principle, but I think it's often misused, okay? And then the second reason I don't often speak about giving is because I don't want for somebody who's brand new coming to the church for that day, for their first sermon that they hear to be about how we want for you to give us your money, right? Because that could be very off-putting to somebody who's, listen, I came to hear and to learn about Jesus, not for you to get into my finances, right? So does that make sense? So for any of you who are ever wondering, like, how come you don't talk about this more? Those are the two reasons. We have a cultural thing that happens at other places where it's kind of like, hey, you know, sow the seed, reap this reward. And then secondly, I'm always aware that there might be somebody who's coming in today who really wants to hear about Jesus, not about church finances, and I really care about that. And then thirdly, and also importantly, which I didn't name before, I've never had reason, as your pastor, I've never had reason because of your faithfulness for me to come to you and say, okay, here we go. It's time for me to talk to you about giving again because you guys aren't doing it, okay? So for those three reasons, we don't talk about it much. But today we're going to, because this is a spiritual habit that I want for you to form in your life, not just here at Allegan Bible Church, but in every area of your life, because it is a direct reflection of God the Father and God the Son in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay. So all that is kind of housekeeping to talk about this spiritual discipline of generous giving, which is what we're going to talk about today. And I don't know if you've ever heard this saying, but there's a saying that says, it's better to give than to receive. Do you know who said that? Jesus did, actually, believe it or not. And so as we seek to be like Christ, and I hope that's your goal, then this is something that we need to hear about. This is something we need to maybe measure in our own hearts, or at least let the Holy Spirit measure for us, and that we need to, I think, all of us grow in fostering generous hearts, okay? And so that's where we're going to go this morning. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, I do thank you that you are over all things. I thank you that you have told us in your scriptures that if you were hungry, you wouldn't ask us because you don't have any need, that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I thank you that you have told us in the New Testament that those who are faithful over a little will be placed over much. I thank you that you have showed us in the Old Testament how you continue to provide for your people, whether it be manna in the wilderness or just the physical fulfillment of the law in the gleaning that are left for the orphans and the widows. God, we thank you in the New Testament how you have showed us you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and how your Son Jesus, who is the incarnation of you, showed us his people how he also can multiply loaves and fishes to feed all of those who are gathered, even enough to leave leftovers. And so as we look at generous giving, God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts to hear this, because I know that not everybody in this room is at a place where they might feel today that they can be generous givers. So God, I pray that by your Spirit, you would show them areas in their life where they can grow in generous giving. And I also pray that you would remove fear and doubt in the hearts of all of us. And then thirdly, Lord, I pray for us as a congregation, for us as your members of your church, universal, that you would help your church, especially the church here in America, to understand the blessings that we have been given by no account of our own, simply by being here in this country, and for us to often remember our brothers and sisters in Christ who do not have anywhere near the riches that we do here, that we might be generous for and with them, and not only in our tithes and offerings, but also in our prayers, in our service. It's in your name that we do pray. All God's people said, amen. So I want to explore with you how faithful giving rooted in joy reflects the relationship with God and impacts our lives and the lives of others, okay? And so I have three main, what I'll refer to as proof texts for us this morning. I'm going to put them on screen, but you can follow along in your copy of God's Word if you want. If you want to follow along in your copy of God's Word, I want you to turn to Matthew first, Matthew 6. So also, if you've got notes or if you want to write this down on something, I suggest you do that. So the first one we're going to go to is Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. The next section is in Mark chapter 12, 41 through 44. And then the third section is going to be in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. So I'm going to say those one more time for you again, and then, of course, they'll be up on the screen, and I'll mention them throughout. So the first one is Matthew 6, 1 through 4. The next is Mark 12, 41 through 44. And then the third one is going to be 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. So now those are what I would call the foundation texts for our sermon this morning. There are going to be other texts that I'm going to reference. Feel free to write those down if you want to. Or if I'm going fast, you can always... Oh, by the way, if I'm ever going too fast for you and you ever need like extra notes or anything, just call me, text me, let me know afterwards or something. I'll be happy to print those off for you or whatever. I can print you off my whole outline if you want. That's fine. I've got no problem doing that. So the first thing, though, that I want to talk to you about as we get into Scripture is, firstly, the methods of giving. So if you're a note taker, there's going to be your first point right there, the methods of giving. What I want to talk about for this is our intentions matter when it comes to giving. Our intentions matter. So hopefully you found your way there. We can read along with me. Nick's going to flip around so I can just keep reading. But Matthew 6, 1 through 4 says this, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." So I want you to know, first and foremost, Lee, I want for you to have a reward. Second verse, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done, may be in secret, and your Father who is seen, who sees in secret, will reward you." Okay. Next pillar text, Mark 12, 41 through 44. "And he sat opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put more in than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Okay? So these are the two pillar texts. I want to move on to the points that I see through this as we talk about the methods of giving. I want to talk to you about things that I think should be part of your method of giving. Okay? First point, give secretly. Give secretly. This is going to be easier for those of you who are single than it is for you, those of you who are married. I believe good stewardship as a married couple should be her things are mine, my things are hers. And so this is not a marriage conference about how you should keep your finances, but I'm just going to make a statement that I believe is biblical. You can be mad at me if you want to, if this is not what you're practicing. You can see me afterwards if you want to. But we should have one bank account between us that is our shared funds, and we should both know what's going on in there. I think that's great, wise counsel, and I think it's very biblical, okay? So along with that, though, that's going to be hard. Like, it's hard for her to be generous and give and not have me know what's going on. Well, let's be honest. I really have no idea what's going on in our bank account. She could be as generous as she wants, and I would have no idea. But in every marriage, it's not the same way, okay? I just trust her implicitly, so she is able to do that without me knowing. And sometimes I'm sure she does. I find out later, and she'll tell me she did something. Well, that's great, you know? However, as a couple, that's not what I necessarily mean. Giving secretly means, as you see in the text, that Elisa and I aren't coming in every Sunday and telling you what other organizations we happen to be giving to or something like that, right? And nor should you be doing that either, unless it comes up in natural conversation, okay? So for example, if we as a congregation ever come to you and you say, hey, what's some other missions or some ministries, or if you know of one that is seeking a special campaign or something like that, well, then obviously you should let us know and your other brothers and sisters know so that we can do that together. But what this is talking about here is what it says in Matthew 6, 3 through 4 in the text. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's simply the opposite of what these other people are doing when they're sounding the trumpet in the area that people can know what exactly that they're doing, okay? There's multiple ways that we can do this, but the point is that we should be giving secretly, privately. We should not be broadcasting that, okay? Social media is terrible for that. Avoid the urge of putting those things out there. Frank A. Clark says, true generosity is doing something nice for someone who will never find out. Now, I remember a time where when we were down in seminary, I had lost a job, and then I was without a job for, I think it was like a month or something like that, wasn't it? Seems about right. And I was constantly looking. We weren't finding anything. And at some point, Elisa and I were having the conversation, okay, so do we take a semester off? Because of finances, like what do we have to do? Because we have rent and we have, you know, seminary and we have the regular bills and all this kind of stuff that you have to do. And so we're having that conversation. And then unbeknownst to us, a friend of ours had some kind of whatever, a bonus or something, I don't know. And God had put it on their heart that this was the time that they needed to give towards us for the ministry that God was calling us to. What a blessing that is. Now, in that circumstance, they wrote us a check and it showed up. It would have been even cooler if they had just given like some kind of a money order or something like that, and we never even knew who it came from. But the first point of the method is give secretly, and the reason for that is because if you choose to not give secretly, you're stealing the glory. So you might be giving financially, or you might be giving of your time, or you might be giving of your affection, but you're stealing from the Lord the glory that He is due. Secondly, is to give sincerely. 2 Corinthians, so this is one of these offshoots, right? So 2 Corinthians 9:7, which I think was part of what we're going to talk about later anyway. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I'm going to tell you something. Giving a tenth of what you have is not something that's like mandated in Scripture, like part of the Mosaic law. It's not a command that Jesus gave us. And so over church history, over Judeo-Christian history, that originally came from Abraham, okay, back in the Old Testament. Well, let's go way far back. Originally, the first kind of offering situation was Cain and Abel. You remember that story? Okay, and so that's where that came from as a whole. And then if you fast forward for a while, the whole idea of giving a sacrifice offering or an offering or a tithe or whatever that would be comes from Abraham. After Lot was rescued there and Melchizedek was there, and he's the illustration of the Old Testament Christ, right? And so Abraham gives him part of what he has, and then that becomes kind of a principle throughout Scripture. And then you also have the Levitical law, where he's talking about parts of then the fruit and the grain and the wine and the cattle and those kind of things, and they give kind of more specifications of that kind of stuff. But I want for you to know that a tenth is a good, I guess maybe shooting point, but that doesn't mean that you should stop there. Okay, it also means this, that if you are finding yourself unable to meet the tenth of a percent of your financial means for whatever reason, and you're feeling bitterness towards the Lord, that you feel, if you're feeling from God that, let me pause for just a minute. If how you feel trying to meet that 10% is begrudging and angry towards the Lord, I'm going to make a shocking statement. He would rather not take your 10%. Okay? Now, keep in mind that nonprofit ministries like the church or like Positive Options or like CEF or like whatever, Wings of Hope, right? So there's all kinds of nonprofits that the only way that they are sustainable is through charitable contributions, and they aren't sustainable throughout that. But I also want for you to know that if all of you stopped giving to ABC tomorrow, we would stay open. I don't know how. But I'm here to tell you that God doesn't need your money. What he wants is your hearts. And so if you happen to go through a phase in your life where you feel like you have to pick between, you know, housing your family, feeding your family, or giving that other 10%, I'm gonna counsel you in a very strange way. Here's what I'm going to say. Scripture says those who don't provide for their family is worse than an unbeliever. So you need to do that. But my challenge to you is, if Jesus said, say to this mountain, cast it into the sea, and it will be done for you. If he says, ask and seek and knock, and the door will be open for you. If he's the one who took a couple of fish and some loaves of bread and fed a bunch of people. If he's the one who gave the children of Israel manna in the wilderness. Then I just want to give you a challenge. Your perception of reality may not be God's perception of reality. I'm just going to say it's often not. So my counsel would be to you is this. Seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lean not on your own understanding. Seek first his kingdom, and all these other things will be added to you. Because that's just the truth of the Bible. So this isn't me telling you, forget your family, do the 10%, and we'll just see what happens. What I am saying to you is, between you and God, you need to make that decision. And I'm going to say, seek to live in faith, not fear. And also at the same time, as a church body, please don't suffer alone. Part of the reason that our brothers and sisters are giving to the ministry of Allegan Bible Church is to make sure that you, as a member or even a regular tender of Allegan Bible Church, aren't going hungry or without food or shelter or like clothing or like, okay? There's things that we can cut back on as a church if we need to make sure that we're providing for the body. Because again, he who doesn't provide for his body is worse than an unbeliever. I've took a little bit of liberty with the text there. Please don't stone me, but I think you know my heart behind what I'm saying. I want to give you a story of somebody who chose not to do that. Perhaps you've heard of Ananias. In Acts 5, 3 through 4, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." So I want you to give sincerely, whatever that amount is. C.S. Lewis says, "Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching." So, which leads me naturally, or at least we already covered in part, for you to give sustainably. Now, it's great if you get like a Christmas bonus, right? Or if you win the lottery, which, you know, I don't know that we should be playing the lottery, but that's a different sermon, right? But you get some kind of a big windfall from something, an inheritance, whatever, okay? And you want to give a larger amount than you normally do, that's fine. But I would challenge you to give sustainably. Now, that's what a tithe is. And so I think sometimes in church, in Christianese, we have this vocabulary. I don't know if you know this. We have a vocabulary that we'll use. It's called Christianese. Not everybody else in the world understands this, okay? And we need to use language that makes sense, or we need to explain or interpret our language for other people so that they can be a part of that conversation. I distinctly remember a time in seminary because, you know, I'm me. I show up in seminary with a bunch of these guys who already, they were probably, you know, they were born in the pews. And so I'm in there, and the guy who's up there who's in the theology class says something, and I raise my hand, and I say, can you tell me what that word means? And I'm not joking. When I had like 14 or 15 guys turn around and look at me like I had, you know, Rudolph's nose on my face, and I'm thinking to myself, look, bro, I'm paying the money for this class too. If I don't understand a word, we're going to pause because I want to understand this 50-cent word that he's talking about there, okay? So let me do some definitions for you. There's something called a tithe. That would be a regular contribution. Then there's something called an offering, okay? An offering is over and above, or for it's a specific purpose, okay? So they would do sin offerings, okay? They would do, but you never heard of them say a sin tithe. That's not what that is, okay? They would do a free will offering. They would do a celebration offering, okay? All those are different than a tithe. So what I mean is, I think you should find whatever number is right for you between you and the Lord and have a sustainable means of giving. And then I would also encourage you, believe it or not, to then give sacrificially over and above whatever that is from time to time. Sacrificial giving is exactly what it means. But let me explain it to you. Sacrificial giving means giving something more than you are able to and then foregoing the other thing that you were going to do. Does that make sense? So for example, sacrificial giving would be something like this. I get Christmas money or something, and I'm really looking forward to spending that Christmas money on, I don't know, a new pair of shoes. Whatever floats your boat. I don't know. Don't judge me, right? Whatever, okay? And a sacrificial giving would be, for whatever reason I decide, okay, instead of, I'm going to give that money to some either the church or another ministry organization that I know is serving Christ. I'm going to give that money to them, and I'm going to have another year of wearing these same old, nasty, stinky sneakers. That's what I'm going to do. That's a sacrifice that I've made, right? And sacrificial giving can be a cup of coffee all the way to, hey, we were going to buy that car and we're not buying that car, okay? Sacrificial giving can be any of those things, but that is not part of a sustainable giving, okay? Because at some point, you do sacrificial giving so much, you end up homeless, and now you have not done the principle that God has talked about either, about managing your household well. Remember, that is a standard for elders and deacons. That's a standard for you as a Christian. We ought to be above reproach. We ought to be a part of the community, okay? And so how do you deal with all these things altogether? I don't know. I'm not you. I'm not your spouse. I'm not your accountant. This is what you and either your spouse or you and your financial advisor or just you and God need to discuss between the two of you or the three of you or however that works. But these are the methods that we ought to give. We ought to give secretly. We ought to give sincerely. We ought to give sustainably and regularly. And we also ought to have times of giving sacrificially. All of these are the things that Jesus was talking about in these texts. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people that you'd be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Mark 12:41. Then he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people gave in large sums. And the poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which makes a penny. And he called the disciples to him and said to him, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Within those texts, I hope that you can see we are to give secretly, sincerely, sustainably, and sacrificially. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So now when I speak of giving, often all of our minds, and even right now I'm talking about financial giving, monetary giving. But I'm going to combine another spiritual discipline with this one, service. I don't know who said it. Somebody, I think it was Alistair Begg, said it. That, how does it go? Time is the only thing that we spend not knowing the remaining balance. So I want you to think about that. I also want you to think about the old saying, time is money, right? So I want to encourage you, if you are at a place where you're having that internal spiritual struggle, you can give time, maybe. And there's ways that you can give time. You can give time by setting aside time in dedicated prayer for your congregation. You can give time by coming and being a part of a service project or volunteering in a ministry here at Allegan Bible Church. Or you can give time by volunteering for a ministry that's not a part of Allegan Bible Church, like Positive Options or CEF or Wings of Hope. And so I want for you to understand that there are ways of sacrificial giving. You can visit people who are shut-ins. You can visit people who are in the hospital. Here's something that might appeal to some of you. I don't know if you know this or not. But did you know you can volunteer to go to the NICU and hold babies? I'm going to tell you from our recent experience that there are not enough people volunteering to do that. You can volunteer to give people who need rides to church. Or you can volunteer your time to go and mow people's lawns or rake their leaves or shovel snow. You see, here's the point that I'm trying to make. At the heart of generosity is the heart. So I want to encourage you to examine your motives or lack thereof. And I want you to find joy in the act of giving itself, not just in what you receive from that. But I also want to tell you that our God is a good God. And as he just said in the text above, that the Father who sees in secret will reward you. So I've kind of talked about, for lack of maybe better terminology, I've done this. You know, we ought to be more generous. But now I want to tell you what you will receive as your reward, because maybe you're wondering that. Well, like, what is our reward? Now, here's where I'm going to try hard to share with you a true, real biblical reward and share it with you in a way that is honest and truthful, and not fall into the health and wellness gospel. Okay. And so if you catch me doing that, talk to me afterwards, and I will clarify next Sunday. But that's going to be, that's the target I'm aiming at. Are we together? Okay. So I want to talk to you about the fruits of giving. My proof text for this, again, the anchor text for this next section, you're going to find in 2 Corinthians 9:6-11, okay? Now, this is what it says. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Okay. So I want to challenge you to trust God and give sacrificially, knowing that he sees and values your hearts and intentions, and here's what you will receive in response. Firstly, an abundant reaping. This is where we're just going to be a razor hair away from heresy. You ready? Here's my best shot. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Biblical truth. It's there in the Word. And whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. There it is in the text. Biblical word. He who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Ah, but there's the rub. He doesn't say in the text that if you sow a penny, you'll reap a dollar. That's not in the Bible. What he does say is that when you sow, you will reap what? Righteousness. So here's what I want for you to understand. You will have an abundant reaping if you give generously of your finances, of your time, of your service, however that breaks out. But I want for you to understand that the reaping that you will receive is a spiritual one. Now, you very well may receive the same thing in return. If you give of your time, maybe you'll receive somebody else giving of their time to you. You might. If you give financially to the church, he might somehow open up the storehouses of heaven and pour out into your lap, and you'll find it overflowing, pressed down in good measure. That might be what happens. But this is where the health and wellness gospel misses the truth of the actual gospel. Jesus said, store up for yourself treasure in heaven where moth will not destroy, where thief will not steal, where it will not rust. So what I'm telling you is you will receive an abundant reaping, but it may not be in the way that some televangelists promise. In fact, I would say it's probably not going to be in the way that the televangelists promise. Because I noticed something. There seems to be a lot fewer televangelists than there are people in those congregations. And if it was accurate, I think it would be made up of a lot kind of different kind of people. But Malachi says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you, pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So the second thing that you will receive is abundant production, because that which you give will produce. Now this is kind of together, but also not. So the reaping is that reward which you will receive on the day when Christ returns, okay? But the production are things that will manifest in you today. You see, as we give, we also are in the business of producing this spiritual fruit that's in us. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. You see, here's the fact of the matter. In the text that we're talking about here, Paul was going to receive a donation for the church in Jerusalem because stuff was happening there and they needed financial assistance. And what was happening, I'm not sure. I'm sure I could research that and I could tell you. But here's what I know. Some of the people who were there in Corinth could not go to Jerusalem physically to help them. So they had to send money. Show of hands, who here has been to the Amazon rainforest of Brazil to talk to a tribe and interpret the Bible for them? Anybody? Okay, I thought not. But you know who's there right now? Philip Schuring, who we're supporting. Okay? That's what I mean. So we are able to be all over the globe in all kinds of different places. How many of you have been to Nepal to talk to a taxi cab driver and share the gospel with him and his family in a tin hut? Anybody? But you know, we support a missionary service that distributes audio Bibles to places all around the globe. You are doing that when you give to the ministry of Elgin Bible Church. You are helping families who are losing loved ones when you give to the ministry of Wings of Hope. You are helping women make choices that honor God when you give to ministries like Positive Options. You are saving babies when you do that. You are witnessing to hundreds of thousands of kids when you give to the ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship, because it's international, not just local. And so you are making an abundant production. And so I think sometimes when we lie to ourselves and we say, well, the 10% that I could give regularly or the sacrificial offering that I could give regularly, it's not very much. Were you not listening to what Jesus just said about the widow making the penny donation? How cool is it when a kid brings their quarter to church to drop into the offering plate? You don't think that God multiplies that and uses that in his ministry? Then you don't know my God. You see, we have an abundant production when we give regularly. And then lastly, you're going to receive supernatural joy, which I think some of you are getting the proof of right now as we're talking about the ministries that we already support, as we're talking about the lives that are being impacted, people who you will never meet this side of heaven, who one day will be in heaven as a direct result of your generosity today, or next week, or next year. And that has a cumulative effect. And so I want to challenge you this morning to be a good steward of that which God has given to you. Whether it's time, talent, or treasure, that you would be a generous giver. Because I want for you to have an abundant reaping, an abundant production, and supernatural joy. And my challenge to you is to practice these things in those ways that we discussed, to give sacrificially, sustainably, sincerely, and secretly. So understand that this is not just a sermon for me asking you for money. This is a sermon asking you to find your joy not in stuff, not in time, talent, or treasure, but rather in the kingdom of God, who, by the way, you can never outgive. I challenge you to try. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your generosity to us, for you have sent your Son to die for us. And more than that, you have made us children. You call us friend. You've given us an inheritance. And even greater than that, I would say that you allow us to see you work as you work through us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that, for giving us your Spirit that would guard and guide. God, I pray that you would help us to be generous givers. I pray that you would help us to see the gifts that you have given to us and that we might use them for your glory and use them for your glory liberally, whatever they might be, in whatever amount they might be, knowing that you will bless even the smallest thing that we can do for you. Give us your strength, your boldness, in your name and for your kingdom. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.